Tonight's reading is from Luke chapter 1, from verses 57 all the way through to the end of chapter 1. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everybody's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and they began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. Now moving on to Zechariah's song. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew to become a strong, became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel.
So I wonder if it was a struggle for you to get to the service this evening. I don't know about you, but over the last few days, I've been somewhat struggling not to get stressed. Cards and parcels to be sent. Have you done all that? I'm sure you have. Last posting dates to be met. We got most of them, but not all of them, I'm afraid. And had I actually got all the important presents? And if I had, where actually had I put them? Various work assignments I wasn't getting to. Emails continuing to come in, of course. Cleaning the house because we thought estate agents were coming, and actually they didn't. And of course, what actually was I going to say on Sunday evening? So I wonder what your week's been like. I don't know. But if you've had that kind of week, then I believe that this time now and this particular passage of the Bible is a gift to us. Jesus brings light and peace. I think particularly the end of the passage, the last few sentences that Matt read, are a special gift to us this evening, where Zechariah says, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the path of peace." Jesus brings light and peace. Jesus is our light in the darkness, our guide into the path of peace. So that's where we're heading. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at different songs and poems from various parts of the Bible that look forward to the coming of Jesus, that help us to prepare for Christmas. And today, as we're on the brink of Christmas, we're looking at a passage from Scripture which is itself on the brink of the first Christmas. Matt read to us from the end of chapter 1, and the very next verses in Luke chapter 2 tell us why Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem and how Jesus was born there. So we and Zechariah are both, in a way, on the brink of Christmas. Now, Zechariah's prophecy is a great outburst of praise and worship. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people and redeemed them. This has been sung, I'm sure, by millions of people. It looks as though it first started to be sung in public worship around the 6th century. It's often called the Benedictus, after those first words in Latin. We're not actually specifically told that Zechariah sung these words, but they're certainly a poem and they do look a bit like a hymn. So like many songs and poems, there is a story behind it. And we heard part two of the story in our reading this evening. We heard about a newborn baby, just 8 days old, whose naming is somewhat controversial. We met the baby's mother, Elizabeth, and father, Zechariah. We saw that Zechariah couldn't speak. It looks like actually he couldn't hear either. Until he confirms that, yes, the baby's name is John, and then immediately he is able to speak, and he bursts out with this extraordinary song of praise. But why couldn't Zechariah speak? And what had happened? So perhaps you know part one of the story, or perhaps you don't. But Zechariah and Elizabeth, they're both very old. They have no children. Zechariah is a priest, and he's serving in the temple in Jerusalem. And an angel, Gabriel, the angel who appeared to Mary, appears to him with great news. Wonderful news. The Lord has been gracious to him. He's heard Zechariah's prayers, and Elizabeth is going to have a son. Great news. Yes, he's got to call the boy John. A reminder that the Lord hears prayer, and the Lord has been gracious, because as Nicholas said, that's what the name John means in Hebrew. And the angel tells Zechariah that John, when he grows up, will lead a revival in Israel and prepare the nation for the Lord's coming. It's great news. It's extraordinary news. But is it actually too good to be true? Zechariah can't quite bring himself to believe what the angel says. How can I be sure of this? He says, surely we've passed the age when we could possibly have a child. And Gabriel says this, solemn words, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the appointed time. And that's what happened. Zechariah returned home from the temple. Elizabeth does become pregnant, and Zechariah is silent. So you could say that Zechariah's song, this prophecy, like the baby John, had a 9-month gestation period. At least 9 months of Zechariah's repentance. Why could I not believe this wonderful news? Reflection. We are going to have a baby, but what does it all mean? Searching the scriptures. Repentance, reflection, and then rejoicing. Seeing the evidence of the good news growing before his eyes as Elizabeth's pregnancy went on. God is on the move. A couple of years ago, I found a great recipe for a very rich fruitcake. It was full of figs and dried apricots and glacé cherries and mountains of sultanas and raisins and currants. I really enjoyed making it. And it was really, really rich. Some people really like rich fruit cakes, like Christmas cakes. Others really don't. Quick poll. How many of you like really rich fruit cakes, Christmas cake? Yeah? And how many of you really don't like them? Yeah, you see, there's a lot of people who don't. I love them. I think it's great. I remember when I was a boy, I used to love the icing more than the cake. But then there came a point when the cake took over in a big way. Now, I think it will be almost impossible to eat a whole Christmas cake at one go. I've never tried, but I'm guessing it will be a challenge. And Zechariah's prophecy, I think, is a bit like that. Every phrase, almost every word, is packed with a richness of Old Testament quotation and allusion. Everything is there. So we're just going to take a few slices and try not to get indigestion. Three things. God has come. John will prepare the way. Jesus will bring light and peace. So first of all, God has come. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people and redeemed them. God is on the move. God is in action. Now, in the Old Testament, when God comes, things happen. Very interesting to look at that. God comes to his enslaved people in Egypt and sets in motion that whole train of events that will lead to their liberation. In the book of Ruth, God comes to a famine-stricken land and sends the rain and brings the food. After 70 years of exile in Babylon, God comes to his people to fulfill his promise and take them back to their own land. Now, Zechariah says, God has come. How has he come? He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Now, what is a horn of salvation? Well, no, it's not a trumpet. How are we going? Yes. So think of goat or bull horn. It's a symbol of strength. And often in the Old Testament, it's the symbol of a ruler or a king. So the meaning of a horn of salvation is a strong, powerful king who will deliver. And God will raise up this mighty savior king in the house of his servant David. So that means Zechariah is not talking about his own child John here, because we know, we've been told that Zechariah and Elizabeth actually are both of the house of Aaron, the priestly tribe. If you're a priest, you're from the house of Aaron. He's actually talking about the child of Mary and Joseph, because we know, and Zechariah knows, that Joseph is of the house of David. It's interesting that Mary, after Gabriel comes to her, straight away goes to visit Elizabeth and Zechariah, and she spends nearly 3 months with them. And no doubt she's going to have told Elizabeth all about what Gabriel has said to her. So, Zechariah is talking about Jesus. God has come. He's raised up a mighty saviour, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. God is keeping his promise. He is faithful. He's doing now what he said he was going to do. He's being consistent. As Zechariah looks back over the centuries of the history of Israel, he sees now, with what is happening now in his time, God is doing what he said. Isn't it interesting that all of these verses so far are in the past tense? And Zechariah is talking about things that God has just begun to do and is going to do as though they've already happened. It's the prophetic past tense. It's so certain that it's almost as good as done. And notice also, too, how Zechariah is praising God for bringing all of Israel's history up to that point to fulfillment. It's like Jesus is the focal point of all God's promises, like the rays of light are focused to a point by a lens. The many strands of Old Testament hope, Old Testament expectation, Old Testament prophecy, Old Testament promise, Old Testament longing, they all come to a focus, to a point in Jesus. Do you know this verse where Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 1:20? No matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ. I love that verse. Let's join together. Let's say that verse together. No matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ. When we unwrap the Christmas gift, we find Jesus. It's Christmas. God has come. That's not all. John will prepare the way. I wonder when you actually began to prepare for Christmas. It probably wasn't yesterday. I think Nicola and I first began back in November. Since then, we've thought probably we should have started earlier. I think some people are very much last-minute people. They like to work to deadlines. Some people love to have it all done weeks in advance. And I guess most of us are somewhere in between. And I'm someone who would love to have it all done in advance, but too often finds that it's last minute. Zechariah's already celebrated that God has been planning for centuries. But he looks forward to a special preparatory task that this child, his own son, John, will have. John will prepare the way. You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. John is going to prepare the way, and that is what Gabriel had said to him earlier on. John will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And John did indeed do that, as we know. He called the whole nation to change their minds, to repent, to get ready for what God was doing, for his kingdom coming. And he pointed to Jesus, didn't he? Behold, the Lamb of God. Look, this is the Lamb of God who's going to take away the sin of the world. And let's let that remind us too of our role as people who can point to Jesus. I wonder if there's someone that you may be spending time with over Christmas that you would be able to point to Jesus to help them to unwrap the gift of Christmas, that is Jesus. Of course, there's Alpha, starting up again in January, a great place for people to spend more time looking at the questions they have and unwrapping the meaning of Christmas. And then the third section, Jesus bringing light and peace, where we started. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. This is the section which I believe the Lord wants to take and nourish us and encourage us and strengthen us with whatever challenges we may be facing now. Jesus is the new dawn, the sunrise from heaven, the light that dispels the darkness and the confusion, the light that brings life, the light that shows us where we are and where we should be going. I don't know if you were here last Sunday morning. Tim spoke from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. And if you were there, then you would have heard these words from Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. I wonder if Zechariah had, amongst other parts of the Old Testament, been meditating on this during his 9 months of silence. But to continue, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Let's let that word peace nourish us now. I wonder, what do you think of when you hear the word peace and how you feel about it? Is it a bit of a boring word for you? Or is it a word rich and meaningful? Peace is not just a ceasefire, of course, not just about absence of fighting. It's about the fullness of life. I'm sure you know the Hebrew word is shalom. It's about wholeness. It's about integrity. It's about justice. It's about rightness and righteousness. Peace means relationships that are right, a right balance between rich and poor, haves and have-nots. Peace means families and friendships, not fractured but connected, not bruising and battering but building each other up. Peace means a right balance between our own individual roles and responsibilities. Peace means looking God in the face and knowing his smile. Peace means looking inside and knowing that we are clean and forgiven and accepted. Peace means being free from guilt and shame. Who can bring this but the Prince of Peace himself? This is Christmas Unwrapped. Let's let this feed our souls this Christmas. And Jesus comes to guide our feet into the path of peace. We have a guide, but we need to follow his leading. So Zechariah's song, God has come. John will prepare the way. Jesus brings light and peace. How might this work out for us this Christmas time and into the new year? Three areas. First of all, our network of family, friends and relationships. Christmas does bring together family and friends. Usually, often different parts of the family, people that we may not connect with so very often. Sometimes that's wonderful, sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes it's wonderful and challenging, both at the same time. I know I can find that challenging. Jesus is our guide into the path of peace in these sometimes fractured and troubled relationships. Let's follow his leading and guiding this Christmas. And of course, Christmas for some of us will be a reminder of people who've died. And that can be hard too, when inside for you there is that sorrow and others don't seem to understand. Let's bring that to Jesus as well and let him lead us into his peace. What about St. Giles Church? In our church family, of course, we need Jesus' light and peace. What a great time of year for peacemaking. For doing, just wander around the congregation in your mind. Are there relationships that need to be restored? Is there the need for Jesus to guide you in the path of peace with particular people? Let's do that. And it occurred to me as I was preparing that Zechariah's prophecy, it's inspired by the Spirit. It's saturated with the Word. It bursts out with worship. Spirit, Word, worship, bringing glory to Jesus. Isn't that the kind of church that we aspire to be? May God lead us in those paths over Christmas and beyond. So personally, our network of relationships, as a church, as a nation, I know that Steve has shared on a number of occasions a vision he had at New Wine. It was a vision of this country, Great Britain, and a thick mist or fog was covering the country, so thick that no one blanketed in that fog could know exactly where they were or where they were going. And I understand it to be a picture of the spiritual and moral confusion that's coming, perhaps a result of decades of sections of society willfully neglecting, rejecting Jesus and his paths of peace. Who knows what 2019 will bring? Zechariah's song tells us that in Jesus the light from heaven has dawned. We have a guide who will lead us in the paths of peace. How we need to take hold, to follow the light, to take hold of Jesus' hand and allow him to lead us so that we can be the individuals and the church who know what God is doing and know where to go. So that's Zechariah's song. What a gift to us. This is Christmas Unwrapped. This is Jesus, the mighty Saviour King, God come to us. the tender mercy of our God, the rising sun, the new dawn, Jesus, light in the darkness, Jesus, the one to guide our feet together into the way of peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of this space and time and the gift of this particular passage of Scripture on the brink of Christmas. And we pray especially that over these next few days, together and individually, you will, for us each individually, unwrap Christmas and reveal Jesus to us afresh, that his light will shine in every corner of our lives, in every corner of this church, and as a beacon to a needy world. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.